జయం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం నిథిలా ప్రవిష్ట ఓం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షీల ప్రభుపాదికి ఆనందగోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్ కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్ కి మధురపురి ధామ్ కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్ కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్ కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవి సమవేద భక్త బృందకి గో ప్రేమనంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ బాడీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ బాడీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ బాడీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరాంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద. నమో శుభదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ బోధనే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి దినామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాణి పాశ్చాత్య దేశదారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ గ్రహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాత్. శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్సవ జాయతే తథా పురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యత ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమనం తం నమామి హరిం వరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయా ఇతరద అర్థేష్వభిజ్ఞ స్వరాన్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదాయ ఆది కవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్ సూరయా. తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్త కుహగం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మత్సరాణాం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తావత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వాపరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుధ్యదే త్రకృతి శుశ్రూషుభి తక్షణా. నిగమ కల్పదరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుకముఖాద్ అమృతద్రవ సంయుతం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసికా భువి భావుకాః. సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశోల్పత్యాది హేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః. యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనుభేదమభేద కృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాదరమజ్జుహావ పుత్రేది తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేతు తం సర్వభూత హృదయం మునిం ఆనతోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అతిథిదేర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణ గుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుమపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం జైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే. కమనీయ కిశోర ముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణు కొణిదాదృదాననేందోః మమ వాచి విజృంభదా మురారే మధురిన్న కణికావి కావి కావి. నమా ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణే శ్రీమల్ గురు చరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. വന്ദേ നന്ദം വ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോ ഗീതം പുനാലി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ. പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശ മനിഷം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി. കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദം പുരതോ മമാം. മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി ആചാര്യേ നമ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. Krishna is talking to Uddhava about the person in bondage and the person in liberation, bandham and mukti. Though this is what we were talking last Sunday, and you have seen there, Krishna said, the difference between a soul in bondage and a soul in liberated state. Dehastobina dehastobi dvan sopnal yathotida adehastobi dehasta kumadi sopna drgyatha. Verse 8 in chapter 11. So Krishna mentioned about this, the characteristics of a person who is liberated and who is in bondage. Then after that, Krishna said one more difference. This was the first the consciousness of the person. Then now Krishna is talking about how the how his senses will act. ഇന്ദ്രിയൈ ഇന്ദ്രിയാർത്ഥേഷു ഗുണൈരപി ഗുണേഷു ച ഗൃഹ്യമാണേഷു അഹം കുര്യാൽ ന വിദ്വാൻ യസ്തു അവിക്രിയാഹ. While the senses are engaged in their activities, sensual activities, and the modes of nature are busy with the modes of nature, because he is conscious of that, he is not affected. Krishna says, ഇന്ദ്രിയാർത്ഥേഷു ഗുണൈരപി ഗുണേഷു ച ഗൃഹ്യമാണേഷു അഹം കുര്യാൽ ന വിദ്വാൻ യസ്തു അവിക്രിയാഹ. There is, because there is no ownership that I am the doer, nor there is any false ego in that person, because of detachment, because of the proper realization that he is not the doer. Krishna is doing everything. Krishna is present inside, and Krishna is functioning through the different senses, the mind intelligence. So therefore, there is no ownership. And that is what he says in the next verse. ദൈവാധീനെ ശരീരസ്മിൻ ഗുണഭാവ്യേന കർമ്മണ വർത്തമാനോ അബുധസ്തത്ര കർത്താസ്മിതി നിബദ്ധ്യതേ. That കർത്താസ്മിതി നിബദ്ധ്യതേ, that freedom from that I am the doer, that is real freedom. Real freedom, Krishna is saying, കർത്താസ്മിതി നിബദ്ധ്യതേ. When one has come to that platform to act in this world, if you look into Ishopanishad, you will find there, കർമ്മം നോർമലി ഇറ്റ് ബൈൻഡ്സ് അസ് ടു ദിസ് വേൾഡ്. ഇസ്ന്റ് കർമ്മ വാസന ഇസ് ക്രിയേറ്റഡ് ആൻഡ് ഫ്രം വാസനസ് വി ഹാവ് ടു അക്സെപ്റ്റ് ന്യൂ ബോഡീസ്. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദ നേച്ചർ ഓഫ് കർമ്മം. ബട്ട് ഇൻ ദി ഉപനിഷത്സ്, ഇൻ ഈശോപനിഷത്സ് ഇറ്റ് സേസ്, ഇഫ് യു വർക്ക് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് വിത്ത് ദിസ് കോൺഷ്യസ്നെസ് കർത്താസ്മിനി നിബദ്ധ്യതേ, ദാറ്റ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് നോ ഇറ്റ് വിൽ നോട്ട് ബൈൻഡ് ഹിം ആൻഡ് യു ക്യാൻ എക്സിക്യൂട്ട് കർമ്മം തൗസൻഡ്സ് ഓഫ് ഇയേഴ്സ്, ഇറ്റ് വോണ്ട് കോസ് എനി ഡാമേജ്. ഓൾ ദി ഗ്രേറ്റ് സ്പിരിച്വൽ പേഴ്സണാലിറ്റീസ്, ഇഫ് യു ലുക്ക്, including the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, they have acted in this way, that never they were bound by their actions. They will continue to act, but never bound by the actions. There is no ownership in anything. Krishna, you will never see Krishna saying to anyone, I've done this, I've done that, like we do. Krishna didn't have to say this, because Krishna says there, in the Bhagavad Gita also you will see this, that ownership is not there. According to the modes of nature, Krishna is saying here, Daivadhine sharirasmin gunabhavena karmana. The conditioned soul has to realize this, that whatever activities he is performing, from inside the vasanas are compelling him to act in one way or the other. From outside, the modes of nature is also affecting him. Therefore, where is the question of the ownership of the karma? And this realization, vartamano abhudastatra kartasmidi nibadhyade. Such a person that he is a jnani and he is a realized soul, and he will not be disturbed by the happiness and distress that comes from his activities, and also he is free from the false ego. After saying all these things, in another three verses, Krishna is talking about how that person who is in that consciousness, how he will carry out his daily activities, how he eats, how he sleeps, things like that. Evam virakta shainam asanadana majjani darshana sparshana ghana bhrojana shravanadishu na thada vadyade vidvan tatra tatradayan gunan prakritistvapi asamsakto yathaham savidanila. So here, Krishna gave the example that one who has found his real identity, or one who is realized the self, one who is understood what he is, Krishna says, he will not be attached to anything, either with the eating or with the sleeping, or walking, or performing any other activities, sense activities related to the five senses of knowledge, which you know, the eyes, ears, tongue, nose, touch, all those things. He says none of those activities will be affecting him. Those senses will function, but he will only be a witness to all that. And unlike the ignorant person, when one has no realization, in other words, one who has no realization of the soul. So Krishna will continuously discuss this topic in Bhagavad Gita as well as in Srimad Bhagavatam, that senses are, at the moment, all our activities are through the senses. Even the happiness and distress what we experience in this world is also through senses. Without senses, we don't know anything else. Whereas the realized soul knows very well the position of the senses, position of the mind, intelligence, and the false ego, and he transcends them into the platform of the soul. He is situated in the position of consciousness. So in consciousness, when one is present in the state of consciousness, or in other words, when he has transcended the mind, body, intelligence and senses, he comes to the platform of consciousness. And from consciousness, he observes how the senses are interacting with the sense objects, how the mind is involved in the thought process. And all these things he can distinguish himself. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam also, you will see the same thing. They are referred to generally by different terminologies. Terminologies may be different, but practically their position is the same. In other words, their consciousness is the same. In some places you will talk about self-realization. In other place they will talk about one who has transcended the modes of nature. In another place he will be called as Bhagavadottama, best of the devotees. In another place, he will be called as a personality who is advanced in the yoga state. So all these are different words used, but referring to the same person who has transcended the modes of nature, senses, mind, intelligence, and fully situated on the platform of the soul. That is the main thing. Natada badyade vidvan tatra tatradayan gunan prakritistvapi asamsakto yathaham savidanila. This is his position. Prakritistobi asamsakto. He is not in touch with the prakriti, material nature. One whose senses are interacting with the sense objects, that is through which we get involved with the modes of nature and material nature. So prakritistobi asamsakto. He has no connection with the material nature anymore. Just like yathakham savitanila, Krishna says the three examples, like the sky, like the wind, and like the water, and although present in everywhere, the sky is present everywhere, but sky doesn't have any connection with this material, with the earthly planet, Earth. Or in the space, the sky is referred to as the space here. The space is present everywhere, but the space is not affected by anything. Similarly, the air also. Air travels, but it is not affected by anything. So, Krishna says that, similarly, one who has come to the platform of the soul, all these things doesn't matter to him anymore. This is his position. Many, many realized souls have acted in this way, in this world. And Vaisharadhya Chaya Asangashidaya Chinna Samshayaha Pratibuddha Ivasvapna Nanatvadvat Minivartate. In the next verse, Krishna is saying that Vaisharadhya Chaya Asangashidaya, that because of their renunciation from the sense objects and sense enjoyment, and because of the higher realization or the knowledge that is present in the person, all doubts have gone away. And just like a person who has woken up from the dream, he will not try to engage in the, he will not try to relish the happiness he was experiencing in the dream, isn't it? Just like sometimes in the dream, we experience a lot of enjoyment in different sense objects, what we experience in the dream. But as soon as you wake up and you come to know that it was a dream, that enjoyment has gone. That enjoyment is gone. Similarly, Krishna is saying here that one who has woken up from this world of senses, of sense enjoyment, he will not be any more relishing the activities of the senses. The sensual activities will not give him any more, and it will not disturb him. In other words, what happens is that the senses, when it is in contact with the sense objects, two things happen. One, either it is attachment or aversion, according to the sense objects. So this attachment and aversion creates waves in the mind. That is when the mind moves. The mind started working, or mind started moving as soon as the senses and sense objects interact. Ragam and dvesham. Ragam and dvesham, attachment and aversion. From attachment and aversion, Krishna is saying that it will affect the mind, and in the result of that will be, I am the doer and I am the, and the results must come. These two thoughts will also develop, which in turn will disturb the mind, and that is how the mind constantly gets affected. So, activities related to senses, activities related to mind, this is constantly happening to us. If we look our own life, remember the day morning we wake up, right from the day morning moment we wake up, right up to the point we go to sleep, everything is on this two things going on. Attachment and aversion, and I am the doer and the results. Bhalecha, or the desire for the results. These four things, kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam. That is I am the doer and I want the results. Kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam. Ragam and dvesham, attachment and aversion. This keeps us going day after day. One who has woken up from this and who has moved on to the platform of the soul will not have anything to do with any of these things anymore. Why? Because his buddhi, that's what Krishna is saying, Vaisharadhi. It is Vaisharadhi. Vaisharadhi means Sharada. It is another name for transcendental knowledge. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will refer to this as Brahmi Sthiti. That's how Krishna calls it. So many different things. And another place Krishna calls it as Sthita Prajna. Eventually it all refers to the same thing, a person who is self-realized. A self-realized person, his buddhi is Vaisharadhi buddhi. Vaisharadhi buddhi's nature Krishna is talking about here. Akshayaha asangashidayaha ikshayaha chinna samshayaha. That the nature of such a person is that he has no doubts inside. Doubts have all gone away. This is one important point. When we come to spiritual life, we have a lot of questions. The questions follow us, and we think clarifying questions is the process of understanding spiritual life. Unfortunately, it is not so. Questions are not the way to understand spiritual life. questions and answer is basically coming up from the mind. And the doubts, the nature of the mind is to be always doubts, to create, generate doubts. That's the very nature of the mind. Mind is creating more and more doubts inside. These doubts are coming because of the nature of the mind, and we are thinking that by answering the questions, our spiritual life will progress. In fact, it is not so. That the spiritual life is entirely different thing. By actually understanding the nature of the mind, and by transcending the mind, one comes to realize the truth. And when one realizes the truth, Bhagavatam is also saying, Vidyate hridaya granthi chidyande sarva samshayaha. All the doubts will disappear. Kshiyande chasya karmani drushto eva paravare. When one has realized Krishna's presence inside, as the absolute truth inside a person, these doubts will automatically disappear. You won't reach Krishna by questions. You will reach Krishna by the process, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So here is the one, that is why if you look back into all the ancient Upanishads teachings, you will see how the knowledge was imparted to the, in Chandogya Upanishad, Mandukya Upanishad. In every Upanishad you will notice the same thing happening. There was no questions and answers. The spiritual master develops the realizations in a person by very, very intense search for the truth. Intense search for the truth. It is that process that is more important. So, Vaisharadi Buddhi, or Sharada it is called, Brahmi Sthiti it is called in the Bhagavad Gita, and in the Lalita Sahasranamam it is referred to as Sharada. So, in different literature you will find the knowledge of the self, which is the transcendental knowledge, is referred to as Sharada or Vaisharadi Buddhi. That Buddhi, that intelligence, which is beyond the modes of nature in the realized state of consciousness. So, Krishna says here that he really releases himself from the Sotnatva Nanatva Vinivartate. While being present, while we are in contact with the material nature, we have observed so many objects in this world, in different forms, under different names, different material elements, and it all, the mixture of all these things, what we see as the material world. Krishna says here, that so, nanatva vinivartade, this nanatvam, this multiplicity in this creation is the problem. That is what is causing this duality in us. Then from there onwards, we create this is good, this is bad, this is my friend, this is my enemy. Or things like this dvaita prapancham or duality has occurred from this. So, realized souls, they are also seeing the same world, but what they see is different than what we see. What we see is all the different names, different forms, male, female, different nationality, or different languages, or different habits, and different species. Like these differences, it is these differences that is our experience of the material world. Krishna is saying here, a realized soul, Vaisharadi Buddhi, one who has come to that platform, what he will see is Krishna's presence in everything. He doesn't see anything in different than that. It is only Krishna is saying here, the world outside is also Krishna. The world inside is also Krishna. So when he is seeing Krishna outside in that way, he sees that this, but before that happens, he realizes Krishna within. It's only after that this happens. Before realizing seeing Krishna's presence outside, it is important to see Krishna within. And in Bhagavatam, if you look, in the beginning of the second canto, you will see there that Sukadeva Goswami, knowing very well about all the sages who are present there, he started explaining the whole creation as Krishna's body, first thing. So first thing he saw, everything in the creation as Krishna's body. It is after that, he started talking about the creation. First to recognize that it is Krishna's body, this whole creation is. And after that, to talk about Krishna. So, this is the process what Sudeva Goswami has followed there. So, here also he will see there how he will act in this world, viharam. that is saying here, yasyasrubhida sangalpam pranendriyamano dhiyam vrtayasavinirmukto dehastobhital gunehi. Then Krishna says, yasyasrubhida sangalpa pranendriyamano dhiyam, one whose prana, the senses, the mind, the intelligence, all their activities are free from sangalpam. Sangalpa shunyam. They call it sangalpa shunyam. Because what it is that till now, when we are acting in this world with our mind, senses, intelligence, we make some plans in advance, isn't it? That I want to do this, I want to do that. In few years' time, I want to be there. Or things like that. So much planning going on inside. Why does this planning goes on? Because of the identification with the body, identification with the mind, senses, intelligence and ego. These are the cause behind it. That is why all this planning is happening. As long as we are identifying with the body, with the mind, with the senses, with the false ego, intelligence, we will continue to make plans in this world. But Krishna is saying here, yasyasyurvida sangalpaha, that for this is why we call it a sangalpa. This sangalpa means this different planning, plan making, or determining different things, what we are going to do. All these activities will stop when pranendriya manodhiyaha vrtayasa vinirmukto dehastobhi talgunehi. When he has gone beyond the body, once he has escaped from the body, once he has escaped from the mind, once he has escaped from the intelligence, once he has escaped from the false ego, and when he is situated on the transcendental position, freedom from above all this, then he does not make plans anymore. In the material world, we think making plans is a very good thing, isn't it? We are so conditioned in that way. In fact, we are planned, our life is also planned, right from age 5, sent to the school, at the age of 20 or 25, you finish the education, and everything is planned from then on. Job, marriage, family, children, mortgage, this way the whole thing is set up. And we feel, oh, if all these things are happening in time, properly, then we think the life is successful. If they don't happen, we think it was a disaster. But Krishna is saying here, if it doesn't happen, that is success. If it happens, it's a disaster. The other way it is. You will see this in the Bhagavatam. Because our education and our conditioning is such that we have accepted all this as the truth. And after this, if any spiritual life, we will take it. If after all these things, if there is any spiritual life available, but we won't accept what Krishna is saying. Krishna is saying here, yasyasrubhida sangalpaha pranendriya manodhiyaha. You will notice this, that in all the great souls who have gone beyond body, mind, intelligence, senses, we call them crazy. Isn't it? We call them crazy. Unfortunately, there is not a big difference between us and them. The difference between a crazy person and the difference between a so-called sober person is, the crazy person speaks out everything. The sober person somehow managed to keep it inside. But the madness is the same inside for the crazy man and the sober person. The only thing is it's burning inside. But if it gets an opportunity to come out, it comes out. So that's madness. Then we call him, he is mad. Somebody has gone mad, we say. So madness really exists in everyone. There is not, but Krishna is concerned, inside and outside is both madness, so long as he has not come to his true identity, to the spiritual life, to this particularly the spiritual realization. If he is not self-realized, Krishna considers him as mad. He is a mad person. So, yasyasurvida sangalpaha pranendriya manodhiyam vrtayasa vinirmukto dehastobhi talgunehi. Then, even though a jnani who has gone beyond all these things, he may be situated within the body, with the mind, with the intelligence and all that, because he has no definite plans what he has to do, he executes the work as it has to be done, without any planning for the future. And therefore, he is a liberated soul. And this is what is discussed in the Bhagavatam. Atma ramascha munayo nargrandha vivirukrame kurvandi haidugim bhaktim itambhuta guno hari. The famous Atmarama verse in the Bhagavatam. Atmaramascha munayo. They are Atmaramas. Why? They are situated on the spiritual platform. They are not on the material platform anymore. The body, mind, intelligence, all these things have gone away for them. So, Now, up to this point, what Krishna has spoken is about the liberated soul and the soul in bondage, but these things can be only known to those persons themselves. From outside, it is difficult for us to know one who is liberated or one who is in bondage. We won't know that. It's only the person with that consciousness will know that when he is experiencing the transcendental knowledge, or when he is experiencing the happiness of liberation, of the liberated state, the happiness of the liberated state, only he will know. We won't know about it. That is the difficulty. So that is why for us all that appears to be madness. That's why throughout history you will find many, many great personalities, we have branded them as mad and allowed them to and put them in that category. But there were actually personalities who were realized souls, many of them like that. And whatever it is, the Krishna says here, while talking about this liberated state, that up to this point he talked about those symptoms which are known only to them. From now on, others, how they can notice among this liberated soul. That's what is going to be discussed in the next few verses. In three verses. Yasyalma himsyade him sreir yena kinjal yaduchayaha archadeva kojil tatra navyadikriyade buddhaham. Then, yasyalma himsyade him sreir yasyalma himsre himsyade. One whose body, if it is tortured by others, when one is tortured by others, or when one is worshipped by others, when one is worshipped by others, in both these situations, he will not be affected. He will not be affected. Krishna says, Yasi Atma Himsir Yena Kinchid Yadarchaya. By accident, if it happens to him, he won't be affected. The example is in the Bhagavadam, isn't it? Prahlad Maharaj. When Prahlad was tortured by Hiranyakashipu, never, not once, Prahlad got affected, isn't it? If you read through the 7th canto, you will see Prahlad's liberated state. That is what it's showing that. Even while coming out from the womb, Prahlad was liberated. So, Prahlad is experiencing a certain happiness which was not known to Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was thinking that Prahlad is questioning his authority. That is the nature of a conditioned soul. Extreme conditioning is Hiranyakashipu. And total liberation is Prahlada. So Prahlada was speaking from the spiritual world and Hiranyakashipu was speaking on the completely materially conditioned state. So when Narasimha Murthy appeared, Hiranyakashipu is asking Prahlada, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? This was Hiranyakashipu's question. Prahlada's answer is, except Krishna, I am not seeing anything else in this world. Hiranyakashipu cannot see Krishna anywhere. Prahlada can see only Krishna, nothing else. If you read 7th canto, you will see this. That, that is the difference between a liberated soul and the conditioned soul. It's more or less the reality. Reality is like that. That we think that we think Krishna is something to be seen later. Bhagavatam is telling us Krishna is present in everything, in every different object, but due to our conditioning we are unable to see. And Prahlada has already started seeing Krishna. It was at that point that Hiranyakashipu got angry with Prahlada and asked Prahlada, is he in this pillar? And it was then that Prahlada replied, there is in the pillar, I can see Krishna Narasimhamurti there, ready to come out. Just like sometimes in the drama, a person is waiting behind the curtain, ready to come out. Krishna is dressed up as Narasimhamurti, waiting there to come out. To show to Hiranyakashipu, I was inside, that as Prahlada has said. So Prahlada has seen Narasimhamurti inside the pillar. Hiranyakashipu couldn't see only the pillar, nothing else. So, yasya alma himsade him sreir yena kinjil yadarchaya archadeva kujil tatra navyadikriyade buddhaham. Then, if a person is not getting angry when he is tortured or when he is disturbed by any of these things, by the modes of nature, or by any bodily discomforts, or mentally is put into distress. None of these situations, a jnani is not disturbed. And if he not only is not disturbed, on the other hand, if somebody glorifies him also, it won't have any impact on that person. That is the beauty of self-realization. Artificially, you can show that, oh, I am not affected and all, but subtly he is enjoying it inside, the worship. This you can see in this world all the time happening. Or externally they will tell you, oh, no, I am okay, I don't want all these things. But inside, the desire is there very much to be worshipped. This is the conditioned state. But a jnani, Krishna is saying here, jnani under no circumstances will be affected by any of these things. Because he is situated in the transcendental platform. He has gone to the spiritual platform. Already the realization has happened inside what he is. If I am not this body, because people are worshipping someone, or what? They are worshipping the body. I am not that body. If they are worshipping my mind, I am not the mind. If they are worshipping my intelligence, I am not intelligence. Above all, if you are worshipping my false ego, I have nothing to do with the false ego. Neither. So, majority of the cases, what you will see in the material life is that worship goes on purely on these four different levels. Mental level, bodily level. Does anyone worship thinking that, oh, you are the soul? No. Nobody. You are not seen anywhere. Anyone worship? No. Either you are feeding into his false ego, or you are feeding into his bodily identity, or to your mental happiness, whatever, in that different levels. So Krishna says here, the realized soul is unaffected, either in the happiness or in the distress, bodily, mentally, false ego level or intellectual level, any of them. If you remember, when Srila Prabhupada mentions about chanting the holy name, he will say these things in a much more clear way. He says, chanting the holy name is surpassing the levels of mind, sensual, mental and intellectual level. Majority of the people in this world think that spiritual life is dependent on your intelligence or in your mind or the senses. But surpassing the sensual, mental, intellectual level is spiritual. This we have to understand properly. Otherwise, we will continue to act on a mental platform or on an intellectual platform. At some point in time, Krishna says, if you have not come out of these three, which one? The mental, the sensual, intellectual. Sensual generally refers to the bodily level. So, at some point in time, we have to get established in this life before we leave this body into the transcendental level. Otherwise, these three things will come and cause problems. Sensual, mental or intellectual. So, that is why by chanting the holy name, what will happen is, it will take us beyond these three states, beyond these three states of existence. That has got the potency of the holy name. Yasyatmahimsadehim srayar yena kinjil yadarchaya archaneva kujil tatra nevyadikriyade budaham. That Yajnavalkya Maharshi also repeats the same thing. Yakandagai vidudadi chandaneer yashtalimpadi. Then, what else? The second verse. Nastuvida nanindeda kurvada sadhu asadhuva vadado gunadosha abhyam varjida samandrak munim. Then, because if he is in that platform, you will notice something interesting from that person. What is that? He will not try to do good or bad things in this world. Neither he will talk about it, or he will not glorify anyone. Oh, you are doing great, you are doing a good thing, or you are doing a bad thing. He will not talk in that way. He will go above that. And he will not praise someone because he thinks somebody is doing something good, nor he will criticize someone because he is doing something bad. In other words, Krishna says here, vadado gunadoshabhyam varjita samudrak muni. He is equally situated. His mind is equally situated, that he will see that modes of nature is working. A person is working in this world according to his modes of nature, the vasanas inside, and the three modes of material nature. That is forcing him to work in one way or the other. So there is nothing to be praised or to condemn in this. That is the attitude of a realized soul. Na kuriyal vadil kinjal na dhyayel swadhu asadhuva almaramo anaya avritya vichare jadavan munim. Then kinjal na kuriyal na vadet sadhu asadhuva na dhyayel. He says here, Krishna is saying, na kuriyal kinjal na kuriyal. He won't do anything with any attachment. And na dhyayet sadhu asadhuva, that he will never think about something because he has such a good control on his mind. Krishna will say this in the Bhagavad Gita also, the same thing. He talks about it. That a sadhu is a person who has managed to control his mind. The mind, it does not allow the mind to engage in thoughts. Generally, the mind has two positions, isn't it? Two positions. One is called Vishadam. One is called Vishadam. Vishamastri. Now, what normally Arjuna Vishada Yogam, like you see in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna Vishada Yogam. Arjuna fell into distress, into a distress state. If it is not experiencing distress, the nature of the mind is normally, if you look into ourselves, you can see in each one of us, you can notice the nature of the mind is like this. Mind always wants to bring things under its control. It's called measuring things, measuring. Mayam. In Shastram it's called mayam. Mayam means to measure things. So any time when you observe your own mind, the nature of the mind you can see. Suppose if I tell you mango, immediately your mind will go into a good mango, form of a mango, the shape of a mango, the color of the mango, and or if you are a little bit more attached to mango, the taste of the mango, all these things will go through your mind. If I mention the word mango. Similarly, if I mention the word, say, a laddu, the same thing will happen. A laddu's shape of the laddu, and immediately you will see in your own mind how a laddu looks like, and the size of the laddu and the ingredients, so many things will go through the taste. All these are the nature of the laddu. That means, for a definite object, if you see anything, the mind will capture it. Isn't it? The mind will capture it. Suppose, instead of that, if I tell you Brahman, or Jiva, or three modes of material nature, the mind will try to capture it, but mind can't capture it. So what will happen? It will go into sleep. This is the beauty of the mind. Mind is, by nature, is like that. Mind can only capture definite objects. It cannot capture anything beyond than that. So what is normally happening is that when we, even in the Bhagavatam class also, you will notice that if you keep on talking about things on a much, much higher level, you will keep on listening and eventually your head will fall onto somebody like this. It will go. Why? Because mind is not able to accommodate that. Already you can see there's falling into that. So, this is what happens. Mind cannot capture it. Because these subjects are such that mind, by nature itself, is, it will only capture what it can accommodate within. Mind is, the nature is, mind is like that. Mind will only accept it. So, as long as, in all classes, everywhere you will notice this. You go and sit in some class, you will notice, people will hear, as long as they can, as long as whatever the speaker is saying, as long as it is absorbed, he will capture it. But when he cannot capture it, it will go somewhere else. Either it will go to office, or to home, or some, in the football field, or somewhere else. It will go in different places. And that is the nature of the mind. So Krishna is saying here, na kuriyal vadel kinjil na dhyayel sadhu asadhuva, that for a realized soul, what happens to him is that he has stopped this chittavritti. The activities of the mind has come to a dead stop. But at the same time, he will not fall asleep. This is the beauty. He is always alert. Jagrata. The small jagrata, jagrata. Upanishad says like that. So this is the state what one should be aiming at in spiritual life. in daily life, even while chanting, you can see. You will keep chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. After some time, what will happen? You fall asleep. Or if you manage to, or waiting for the 2 hours to finish or 16 rounds to complete. So this is the situation with our mind. Mind is like that. Because mind has told us that you have to chant 16 rounds. So there you have put this question before the mind, can you wait till the 16 rounds is finished? After the 16 rounds are over, then I will let you go the way you want to go. This is how our mind is, isn't it? After that we let the mind go. Then the mind drives us after that. This 16 rounds we manage to somehow keep him, tight control. But even then he escapes all the time. From within the 16 rounds also, how many times he has escaped, you will only come to know at the end of 16 rounds. How many times he has gone from you. So this demon inside who is there, he is the one to whom you have to target your spiritual life at. That's why mind is given, Krishna has given so much importance to the mind. It's nothing else that's causing the problem. This one enemy inside, that Krishna says about that, isn't it? So the nature of the mind is like this. It will try to measure all the time. Say for example, you are sitting in the class, somebody else has come and sat next to you, and somebody tells you, oh, he's a celebrity, he's a great film actor. Oh, immediately you look at him. And depending on the vasanas inside, you will start measuring him inside about that person. Suppose you are attracted by beauty, you will look at other persons who are looking more beautiful, and about their beauty you will start measuring that. Suppose you are attached to somebody's bodily strength, you will look at him, how strong his body is, how his muscles are developed and things like that. Suppose you are attached to clothes, then you will see what kind of clothes he has been wearing. What kind of jewelry? If you attach to jewelry, you look at the jewelry he is wearing. So like this, different vasanas inside, accordingly you will relate with that person through that medium. This is all the activities of the mind inside. Krishna says here that one who has brought this mind under control, or a liberated state, what happens to him is that this chittavritti, or the continuous flow of the thoughts, comes to a stop once for all. This doesn't happen to him anymore. Mind has come to a stop. Nor he will fall into sleep. Vikshepam and layam. These are the two words used for that. Vikshepam and layam. Ajam, anidram, aswapnam. This is the three words in the Vedanta philosophy they refer to. Ajam, anidram, aswapnam. These things, what we call activities of the mind, is actually dream state as far as the Shastram is concerned. We think that we are woken up, isn't it? We are in the vacant state. But our vacant state is completely full of these dreams going on through the mind and the senses. Therefore, it's not a woken state yet. Ajam anidram aswapnam. So, these are swapnam in the day, what we are experiencing. So, when the mind stops measuring others, measuring, it's called mayam. That mind's function is this mayam. Mayam, it has to stop, and it also don't fall into sleep, and this is the state of consciousness of a Almarama, or one who is liberated. Almaramo anayavritya vijare jadavan muni. That when he walks in this world, he walks in such a way, Vijare Jadavan Muni, that Muni, he may appear to us as though he is a mad person, isn't it? Balam Unmata Pishachavad, in the Bhagavatam, that is how they are identified. Bala Unmata Pishachavad, either they will look like children, they will play in this world, or they will act like a crazy person, or Bala Unmata Pishachavad, or like a mad person. Or a Pishachavat means devil-like nature. They will do so many devilish things, and we will call them, they have gone mad, or they have become a devil, or he is like a childish. Like this we call them, isn't it? Bala Unmata Pishachavat. Sudeva Goswami is categorized into that. Imagine, and we are taking instructions from Sudeva Goswami. What do you say about that? We have developed so much ourselves. Then we have to now take Sudeva Goswami's instructions about self-realization, about the soul, Almarama state, what it means. And Almarama state is like this. So when we hear all these states, we will say, oh, we don't want all that. I'm just happy with what I am now. So this will come to us. But Srimad Bhagavatam is pointing out to us, we are not in the normal state as we think we are. We think we are in a normal state, isn't it? That everything is going very well and things are fantastic, smashing, everything wonderful in this world. But nothing is wonderful as far as Sudeva Goswami is concerned.
Nakuryal, Nakuryan Navadel Kinjal, Nadhyayel, Sadhu Asadhuva, Atma Ramo, Anayavritya, Vijare Jadavan Munim.
Then, after in those three verses, the symptoms of a realized soul were spoken, which you can observe, and if you are aware of these things, and if you are fortunate enough, you will recognize these symptoms in a soul, in a person like that. There were many, many personalities like this. They lived in this world, and they conducted, and they were waiting to finish up their prarabdham, and to body to drop, to leave this world and go back to the spiritual world. But we won't notice them. Many instances what happens is, when they come out, either they will withdraw from the world in order not to disturb the world, or if ever they move in this world, it will be only with the good intention of helping others. Probably there will be someone in this world who will be interested to realize the truth. Through them, they will get that that inspiration to realize the truth. Somebody who is seriously searching for the truth. That's why the jnani's position in this world is like that. You can never say where a jnani will appear. He can appear anywhere, under any conditions. That is the vasanas that comes with him. Who knows? That's only Krishna knows. That is why sometimes people have misunderstood about the jnanis, and we have completely rejected them from the society, but later on we came to know that they were great personalities, and who by then they have left this world and gone away. So this misunderstanding, in order to avoid that, Krishna gave us the symptoms of such people, the jnanis, with these three verses, 15, 16 and 17. That's what Krishna has spoken. So one who has seen these symptoms in a person, and one who can recognize them, these are the general symptoms of a jnani, who is self-realized. Now, after this, Krishna talks about those who execute a lot of sadhana in this world, but they have no concept of spiritual life. There are people like that. They are scholars, they have studied the books, they will do a lot of sadhana also, but they have not woken up to the spiritual reality, the spiritual truth behind it. That's what he's going to talk about.
Shabda brahmane nishnado na nishnayat pareyadi shramastasya shramabhalo adhenim yuvarakshadaham. Shabda brahmane nishnado.
One who is sometimes shastram. Shastram creates this problem sometimes. People study shastram, they study the grammar very well, but they won't take the message. They will study all the shastram, all the books. Any book they find, they'll take it, read it, and keep it in the head. Just like the goats, when they eat the grass, you've seen how the goats eat the grass? The goat won't eat the grass in a steady way. It will eat something here, it will go and eat something there, it will go to something else somewhere. Like that, they will read the book. So many different books they will read here, there, everywhere. And then what he's saying is, Shabda Brahmana Nishnado Pare Yadi Na Nishnadayad. He will not follow the Shastram sincerely. In other words, Shastram is only valid as long as one executes sadhana. If one does not follow the process or the required purification, what is required by executing the sadhana, like the chanting the holy name, that is sadhana. If one does not execute sadhana, and through sadhana, if he has not come to realize the truth, not only he has to execute sadhana, but through sadhana, if he has not come to realize the truth, he says here, all his effort, you may have done a lot of things in this world, studied a lot, executed a lot of sadhana, but ultimately, Krishna is saying here, tasya shramaha adhenum rakshada iva shrama bhalaha. That his effort is just like if you keep a cow where you cannot get any milk from the cow. Cow is barren cow. So nobody keeps a cow which cannot give you milk, isn't it? But you are looking after that cow day and night, feeding the cow nicely, taking it to bathing the cow, and keeping the cow very clean. Whatever it is, if the cow doesn't give you the milk, then all your work to maintain the cow is a waste of time. That is how it is to be seen. You have to remember, Krishna is not talking about cow protection here. Krishna is talking about an average person in the village or a farmer. He maintains a cow with what intention? Because he wants the milk from the cow. But if he looks after the cow all the time, spends a lot of energy in looking after the cow, but if the cow is not giving the milk, that means the result is not there. So Krishna says the same way, you have studied all the shastram, you have executed a lot of sadhana, but if your consciousness has woken up to the reality of the truth, then it's also a waste of time. That's what Krishna is saying here. So it is important to realize the spiritual realization must happen in this very life before we leave this body. This is the beauty of Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, that they are taught to us. That's not something you should look forward to happen after death. It may or may not happen. Or you may have to go into next body. But Krishna appreciates or Krishna glorifies those who have done it here and made it a success. Krishna says this human body is capable of doing that. And one who has done that, Krishna says he has fulfilled his object of life or he has succeeded in his life.
Athenimi varakshadam nanishnado shabda brahmani nishnado nanishnayal pare yadi shramastasya shrama phalo athenimi varakshadaha.
All these verses in the 11th chapter is to be memorized and to be constantly spoken to oneself. Why? To wake us up that what is spiritual life it will teach us. We develop some false understanding of spiritual life. If you want to know spiritual life, you have to hear from Krishna directly. There is no other substitute for that. We can do a lot of things in this world in the name of spiritual life. But spiritual life, if you want to strictly understand what spiritual life is, these are the verses. These verses. They will talk to us directly. Each one of these verses are so potent. To all the time to remind us that spiritual truth is something different. That's something more to think about. And therefore in that process, where all we can make the mistakes. That's what Krishna is saying. Now, what he has spoken now, he is going to talk about in the next few verses.
Gam dugdadoham asatim ca bhariyam deham paradhinam asal prajamjam vitham todirti gridam anga vajam heenam maya rakshati dukha dukhi.
After saying about a liberated person so far, Krishna is going to tell us now who is most miserable in this world. To show to us the difference between a miserable person and unfortunate person, Krishna calls him as very unfortunate, dukha dukhi. He says he is the most distressed one in this world. And in order to differentiate from the liberated soul.
Gam dugda doham asadinja bhariyam.
Gam dugda doham. He has got a cow who has, Krishna is saying here, that he maintains that cow. Cow doesn't give any more milk.
Asadinja bhariyam.
He has got a wife who is absolutely whole trouble, whole life. This word Krishna has used then 5,000 years ago when this was spoken.
Gam dugda doham asatin ja bhariyam.
Krishna uses the word asat. Asat means, how do we say asat? Asat is that you can say useless, but it's more than useless. More than useless means in English, I think you say, it's just a pain in the back. Isn't it? So, all these are this word, asatu. All these things, if you put it together. Always quarreling, fighting, arguing, one thing or the other, never gives any peace. Her problems never ends. And from morning waking up, oh, I have to face her today. With this fear, you wake up in the morning. In the night when you go to sleep, oh, at least another day I have escaped from her. From her, I have escaped another day. So if a person's life comes to that, Krishna says, dukkha dukhi. He has nothing I can help, he says. Gam dugda doham asadin jabharyam. Now, just because Krishna said about bhairya doesn't mean that bhartav is different. It can easily apply to bhartav also. It's only been spoken like that because there are people, bhartav, who gives pain whole day to bhairya also. So these are things which is constantly going on, especially in the modern world when we have so much far away from how Krishna has set it up. Krishna set up his Varnashrama Dharma. That we have given up long ago. Now we have a situation where we have no rules, no regulations. Everything is convenience. According to convenience, we adjust each other. And eventually when things go totally wrong, either you break and go, or you tolerate the whole rest of the life and finish with it. Forget it now. That attitude develops. But Krishna's point is, Gam dugda doham asadinja bhairyam. Asadincha bhairya means bhairya or bhartha, whatever it is the same thing. That neither you cannot, just cannot work with that person, or that he is just causing, she or he causes a lot of trouble in life for you. And you just have to suffer through this day after day after day. So, gam dugda doham asadincha bhairyam deham paradhinam. This is the most important thing. When we look into ourselves, you can see, deham is paradhinam. Paradhinam means, we have no freedom to do anything. Isn't it? We have, when one is stuck in family life, particularly to the grahastha, is referring to. A grahastha has no independence to do anything. Grahastha is always controlled by family. Then controlled by the social circle, society. Then controlled by the nation, the rules of the country, things like that. Where is the independence for anyone to act free from all these things? So that state is called paradhinam. Paradhinam means is completely under the control of other living entities. Other living entities. Everybody controls his life. The wife controls. The children controls. The office, in the office, the boss is controlling his work. At every moment, he is controlled. He has no freedom. Though that situation, Krishna is called paradhinam. Paradhinam means that you have no freedom to do anything, what you want to do. You have no freedom to develop anything spiritually. Already you are stuck in this condition. Gam dugda doham asadinja bhairyam deham paradhinam. Deham paradhinam. This material body belongs to somebody else. We think we have this body. But actually, who owns this body? While living in this world, the wife, the children, they own this body. When you die, the dogs and the foxes and others will eat this body. It belongs to them then. It never belongs to us. This is what Krishna is pointing out. Deham paradhinam. It belongs to somebody else all the time. But in mistake or misunderstanding in us is that it's me, it's my body, I have to look after. And although that's what Krishna is saying, it is like a cow which has no milk. You are looking after this body, but the very body which you are looking after whole life will say one day goodbye to you. At that point, you will realize that the 80, 70, 80 years, what you have done for this body has no gratitude. No gratitude at all. You spend so much time and energy in maintaining this body, feeding the body. Basically, that's what we do whole day, isn't it? Eating, sleeping, and all the other recreation. Everything for what? For the sake of the body. And this body one day says goodbye to us without showing any gratitude. body will turn around and go its own way. So Krishna says, paradhinam. That's the word paradhinam means.
Gandugdadoham asatinja bhajyam deham paradhinam.
Deham paradhinam. The body belongs to so many other people. So don't bother too much about the body. That's what Krishna is telling us. If you keep on thinking about this body and getting disturbed over it, you're wasting your time. Somehow or the other, Krishna is trying to put us into the spiritual platform and make us realize your true identity is something different, not this body. But no matter how many times Krishna repeats that, we will not accept it. We'll still think, well, you can say all these things, but, you know, it's not practical. We'll walk out from the room saying this. We'll hear all these things. And that is what the people, your most dangerous people, you have to worry about them all the time, who make such remarks. When they come out, after hearing all these things, when they make a remark like that, you have to be very careful. Because they can really take you away from the spiritual life. Gamdugdadoham asadinja bhayam deham paradhinam. Then what else? The next thing. Asal prajamcha. Whole life you spend to bring up a son or a daughter or children. And asal prajamcha. And that children are, what are they like? If you tell him to come this way, he will go that way. That kind. Or he is a headache all the time. So he is neither good for the house, for the parents, never cares for them, nor the other people also talk about him. He's just a problem. He's just a problem. So when the children turns out like that, Krishna says, which is his life, Krishna is talking about. Gamdugdadoham asadinja bhayam deham paradhinam asal prajamcha. All the things have gone wrong in his life. Everything has gone wrong in his life. Deham paradhinam. He accepts that. Asal prajamcha. Children have gone in the also trouble. Then asadinja bhayam. Wife is also headache. So everything has gone wrong in his life. Then what is the next one? Vithanto tirthi girdamangam. He has managed to make a lot of money in his life, somehow or the other, by cheating and lying and crookedness and all kinds of dirty dealings. And you can see this is all the time going on. And we sometimes think that, oh, he has come up in his life very well, we say, isn't it? The man has done so much illegal activities to make money, and that's the whole life has been spent in making money. That was the only thing what he has done in his life. So Krishna is saying here, vittam tvatirthi kridamangam vajam heenam maya rakshati dukha dukhi. He has earned so much wealth, and then he is frightened after that. How to retain that wealth? Will I lose this money? How to protect that wealth? In that fear, he is living the rest of his life. After making millions of pounds or billions of pounds, then he is always thinking, how to maintain this? Tomorrow, will I drop in the Fortune 500 list to the lower position? This fear in his head. How will I maintain my status in the society? So that he has to make sure that all his wealth is intact. So this fear is always inside. So therefore, he cannot think about spiritual life. Krishna is saying, Gam dugdadoham asatinja bhayam deham paradhinam asal prajamcha vitam dutirthi gridam angavajam. And the money, what he has made like that, he will not utilize it for any good purpose. Any good purpose. All the money he will accumulate and accumulate and accumulate all the time, but he will not part with it for any good purpose. Then, heenam vajo heenam maya rakshati dukha dukhi. If all these things happen for a person in life, what should he do? That's the question Krishna is raising there. Then, all what he has got is, he has got the tongue, isn't it? That's all what he has got. So, if he uses the tongue to speak about Krishna, or to chant the holy names of Krishna, Krishna says he can escape. But, when all the things have gone wrong in life, like this, deham paradhinam asal prajamcha vittam tirthigadam Asadinja Bhaya, everything has gone wrong in life. He has at least got this one thing, Krishna says, the tongue. And if that tongue is utilized for talking about Krishna or chanting the holy names of Krishna, then he can escape, Krishna says. If he does not do that also, again, he doesn't use his tongue for the right purpose. Vajam heenam maya rakshati dukha dukhi. He is the most unfortunate person, Krishna says. Vajam heenam maya rakshati dukha dukhi. His words also, his tongue is also used for the wrong purpose. So nobody can help him, Krishna says. Nobody can help him. So in other words, Krishna says that in the Srimad Bhagavatam Ekadasha Skandam, while talking to Uddhava, Krishna has spoken these things to some degree to give us some understanding that life is meant for realizing the truth. Life is meant for realizing the truth. Krishna does not say that life is meant for making money. Krishna doesn't say life is meant for a happy and comfortable family life. Krishna doesn't say that life is meant for enjoyment, sense enjoyment. Krishna says life is meant for self-realization. So if all the other things go wrong, he says don't worry about that. That's not the end of the world. The end of the world doesn't come like that. He says the end of the world is when you got the tongue and if you don't chant the holy name, that's the end. Then it's finished. Vajam heenam maya rakshati dukha dukhi. Krishna calls him is dukha dukhi. He couldn't say put more than that. Dual titles he has given. He is distressed among the distressed, he says. His position is like that. Then, after saying that, he will only in his life, he'll become more distressed in future. Nothing else is going to happen to him. So, anything that is spoken without Krishna inside, without Krishna being referred to, it is being spoken in the next verse. Yasyam nami pavana manga karmam stitul bhava prana nirodhamasya lila avadare psida janma vasyal vandhyangiram tham vibhriyam nadhiraham. Yasyam nami pavana mangam. Then, one who does not see Krishna in this creation, one who does not see Krishna in this creation or in the maintenance or in the destruction of this creation, and one who does not recognize Krishna's presence in this creation. In other words, that srishti, creation, maintenance, sthiti, ulbhava, prana, nirodhamasyam, all these things are happening because of Krishna's presence here. And if not, jila avadarep sida janmadasyal, that one who does not talk about Krishna's beautiful pastimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and you should not talk anything else outside this. This is Krishna's instructions to us. If we have to speak anything about this world, we have to talk about in relationship with Krishna. If you have to talk about anything else, you have to talk about Krishna only. Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's activities. So anything that comes out from the mouth, if it's not in relationship with Krishna, Krishna says it should be rejected. Yasyam nami pavana manga karmam stitul bhava prana nirodhamasya lila avadare psida janma vasyal vandhyam ginyam dham vibhriyam nadhiraham. Then, this is, he's talking about a person who has advanced spiritually and who is in the realized state. And he will not talk one word without any proper connection with Krishna. Any connection with Krishna. There were great, great devotees like that, who will only discuss everything in this world. Whatever they talk, it will have some relationship with Krishna. It will have some relationship with Krishna. Sometimes when you go to see some great souls, great personalities, you will notice one interesting thing. If you seriously observe, you will see. When you go there to see them in the ashrams or in holy places where they are, those who are self-realized, I am talking about great personalities,
who are already realized the truth. If you go to them with your personal problems, say for example that you have got problems, I have relation problems with my wife, or a problem with my children, or things like that, what we consider as important in our life, or problem with the job, or problem with marriage, things like that, what is in our list, what we have normally. So generally people come with this list either they'll go to astrologer or they will go to some sannyasi. These are the two people targeted for this. The householder's targets are these two, either astrologer or a sannyasi. Astrologer, they will catch and they'll say, we'll pay you this much, give us the chart. So whatever he says, some of the things will be true. Whatever he has spoken about the past, some things may be true. But future is concerned, whatever he has written, you have to take it with a pinch of salt. It may happen, may not happen. There is no guarantee. He doesn't know. He also is just saying something based on the past. But if you get something from the astrologer, you feel some satisfaction. But then you come to know that there is some sannyasi or a guru or somebody whom you feel like going and asking him about it. So you go to him. Go to him and tell your problems. And you expect some feedback from him or some response from him for your problems, isn't it? But most of the realized souls, they will not talk anything about your problems. That is a necessity for them. First thing they'll ask you, have you had prasadam? If not, please have prasadam, they will say. That means, first they want to fill your body. They'll meet your bodily needs. If not, they will only talk about the truth, but nothing in between. Why? Because all the problems has come from our mind, as far as they are concerned. And it is here that needs correction, insight. By they telling you the answer for the problem, it's not going to get resolved. Many times people go to the holy people with this intention that they will find the way for us to get out of the problem. And that's all they want from him. They don't want to hear anything what he has got to say about spiritual life or what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavatam. That's not in the agenda at the moment. At the moment, I have a crisis in my life. I want to get out of it. Can you help me? That's the approach. So knowing very well, the saintly persons who knows these things, they will not talk about these things with anyone. They'll keep those things away. They will welcome you, they'll provide you with nice prasadam, make sure that you have eaten, because that is as far as the bodily needs are concerned. About your spiritual needs, they will talk to you. If you come with a proper spiritual inquiry, they will discuss that with you. But otherwise, all your material issues, material crisis or material problems, they have been generated from the mind. And the mind has gone out of control. That's why it is looking for shelter elsewhere. It goes, sometimes this always, all the time this happens. You can see in this world also. Sometimes guru-disciple relationship is based on the material facilities, what they can provide each other. If it comes to that platform, what will happen? Where is the transcendental relationship? What we are talking about? So, a sensible person or a realized soul will not come down to that platform. Even if the disciple has that tendency to take advantage of the relationship, thinking in terms of material success or material benefits, a sensible or intelligent guru should not go in that direction. He should drive away from that. Either it should be understood that he should know that the problems have been created by the mind. It has nothing to do with the spiritual life. Then it purely becomes to the material transaction. Yasyamami pavanamanga karmam stitil bhava prana nirodhamasya lila vadarepsida janma vasyal vandhyangiram dham vibriyan nadhiraham. Then, therefore, there is no need for a spiritually realized soul to talk about mundane topics. If he has to talk about the world outside, it has to be in relationship with Krishna. If he has to talk about anything else, it has to be only about Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's transcendental activities. That's what Krishna is saying here. Then after that, Krishna is concluding this. Krishna controls. How does he control? Evam jityasaya pohyam നാനാത്തു ഭ്രമമാത്മനി ഉപാരമേത വിരജം മനോമയ്യർപ്പ്യ സർവഗേയം. ദാറ്റ് ആഫ്റ്റർ one he has come to thee by constant reflection and constant contemplation of the soul, like the process Krishna has discussed in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, how to be situated on the spiritual platform. Once you have come to that platform, Krishna says here, constantly atmavicharam. Atmavicharam means constantly inward looking, going inwards, all the time going inwards and withdrawing from the world outside. He has come to the platform of the soul, and because everything has come from the soul, and eventually everything will go back to the soul as well, isn't it? So all this multiplicity or variegatedness, what we experience in this world, is all happening within the soul. That you can understand. Because we experience this world outside through mind, intelligence, senses, and like that. That's how we are in contact with the world, isn't it? And mind, intelligence and senses are functioning because of the presence of the soul inside. In the absence of the soul, there is no mind, there is no intelligence, there is no senses. So where is the world? The world exists because all these things exist. And these things exist because the soul exists. And because only the soul exists, all these things are existing. So the realized soul, once he has come to the platform of the soul, he will not give any importance, because he knows they have come from the soul and eventually they will come back to the soul also. That is called a nanatum. Nanatum means this variegatedness of all this creation, what we is experiencing. Evam jityasaya bohyam nanatum brahmam atmani. From nanatum comes brahmam. Brahmam means this confusion. What is this? What is that? This is... We give these different names and forms to different species, isn't it? Just like there is a buffalo. I call it as a buffalo, but the buffalo doesn't know that he is a buffalo. Does he? He doesn't know it's a buffalo, but we call him as a buffalo. Or we call it as a donkey, or a horse, or a dog, whatever. Dog doesn't know. Dog only knows it has got a body, and it's moving around with that body, meeting its needs. What we call the dog, it doesn't matter to him. But the important thing is that the nanatva brahmam, this multiple, the variegated knowledge of this world has developed in us. And if you keep on increasing this, of the knowledge of this creation in this way, eventually we will be drawing ourselves away from the soul further and further. That's the most important thing. The more we develop this nanatvam, nanatvam means this variety of these knowledges, different kinds of knowledge what we have created. Now there is a department of knowledge for everything, isn't it? All kinds of subjects. And it's always coming up new subjects. More and more new subjects we are generating. And thinking that probably with that we will get to know what it is. But we never come to know anything at the end. And we create more work for the young children who come to the school. They have to study all these new subjects. Study this also, study that also. Anyway, there is no job to study this. This is how we load them with all these kind of things. And poor child, he, after so many studying all these things, he is completely lost. If you ask him, where are you now? He says, I don't know what to answer after that. That is his position. Because the one thing what he has to know, he was never taught. That is the soul. He was never taught about that. He was taught about everything else except that. That is the education. So Krishna's words are pointing out to us that jnyasayapohyam nanatvam brahmam atmani. That nanatvam will develop first in a person. Nanatvam means this detailed knowledge of the material world. Detailed knowledge of the material world. And from there, Brahman will develop. Brahman means what? Brahman means when we see these new things in Maya's world, from this material world, immediately it makes our mind to move. Isn't it? Look at this for example. 30, 40 years ago they started this moon exploration work. Isn't it? Exploring the moon. Americans started, Russians started, and then Chinese started, everybody started, India also started now. So everybody has increased actually the research for the moon. Research for the moon, sending rockets, spending shapeshifts. This, it is endless. The whole life, Krishna says, you are engaged in activities. Only thing what it is doing to us is, it will not give you any time to think about what exactly you are, from where all these things have come from, and that is the soul. So, there itself, we very, very, very basic thing itself, things have gone wrong. So, Nanatvam engages, creates this Brahman. Brahman means this confusion in the mind. It's a kind of delusion, actually, inside. And then, once we get to know, we start the research project, straight away. Then, we have to go to the moon. Then somebody has come out this, that there's so many other planets also we have to think about. So let's go to all those places as well. So, Apollo Project 1, Project 2, Project 3 starts one after the other. And then millions and millions, billions of pounds spent on that. Krishna feels sorry for us. That in his creation, there are billions and trillions of universes. Shastras are talking to us. And if the knowledge of all this, basically, the understanding of the soul doesn't exist. And because they are not accepted, the presence of the soul within, of every living entity. And what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, their mind is driven by this Nanatvam and the Brahman that comes from that. Nanatvam Brahman Atmani Uparameda Virajam Mano Mayarpya Sarvage. Then, but a realized soul, what does he do? He withdraws this, all these things. He withdraws from all these things. And he completely dedicates himself to the soul inside. And completely always situated in the platform of the soul. So, this verse, Krishna is concluding the process of knowledge, what he has spoken. So you can see, in the process of knowledge, going inwards is important. That spiritual knowledge develops in a person, one who has drawn from the mind, one who has drawn from the senses, false ego and intelligence. They are all impediments for him. If he entangles himself with the material world more than what is necessary, then he is bound to suffer from that. He is bound to be drawn into more and more complexities of the material energy. That is the terms Prabhupada has used in the commentary on the chanting of the holy name. He says there that the complexities of the material nature, he gets completely perplexed by that. And that is another aspect of Maya. This is Maya's material energy's function. But a person who has learned himself how to escape from Maya, he withdraws from everything what is unnecessary. Yadyanisho dharayidam mano brahmani nishchalam mai sarvani karmani nirabeksha samacharaham. That Krishna says here, if one cannot do this, because this requires practice, isn't it? This is what Krishna has spoken till now, how to be situated within the platform of the soul. That's not an easy thing. It is Jnana Yogam, what Krishna is talking about. And Krishna knows very well that majority of the people will find it very difficult to follow this process, because it requires very intensive detachment from this world first. Very intensive detachment, vairagyam, or renunciation from this world. That is the basic quality for jnanam, for the knowledge. And not only intense detachment, an intense desire for liberation. That has to come along with that. When these two things are there in a person, then without anyone's help, he will go in that direction. Nobody has to tell him. That is the history of all the jnanis are like that. Nobody has told him that, oh, you should become a jnani or preach to him or anything. There was no need to preach to them, because they have come to this world with this strong vasanas inside. Already in their previous lifetimes, they had gone through these stages that they have developed in the early days in life itself. That strong detachment was there. And not only that detachment, a strong desire for escaping from this material existence. So that only happens to a very rare, a few fortunate souls who will have that.
But overall, majority of the people won't fall into that category. They will not be able to do that. That is, as Krishna says, once in a million or once in a billion, this may happen. So, here, Krishna is saying here, don't get upset, because if you can't do it. Therefore, in the next verse, Krishna says here, develop devotion, bhakti.
Yadhyanisho dharayidam mano brahmani nischalam mai sarvani karmani nirabeksha samacharaham.
Then, if you cannot do that, Krishna says, offer all your energies to me. All your energy to me. And act without attachment. Act without attachment. So, yadi mana nischalam yatha tadha brahmani dharayidam. That if you cannot focus your mind on Krishna, that means the soul inside, if you cannot do that, at least all your activities, let that be directed towards me. And if you follow that process, which is known as Bhagavata Dharma, Krishna says how that will develop one's purity.
Shraddhalurme katha shrinven subhadra logapavani gayan anusmaran karma janmaja abhinayan muhum madarthe dharmagama arthan acharan madava ashrayaha labhade nischalam bhaktim vayuddhava sanatane. Shraddhalurme katha shrinven.
That Krishna says that Uddhava, if you cannot do that, because Uddhava, after hearing all these things from Krishna, was a little bit concerned that is it possible to come to this standard of Krishna's expectations. So it was at that time Krishna spoke about bhakti. Ultimately you will see in the Ekadasha Skandham, Krishna will talk about various things, Sanghyam, Yogam, Jnanam, everything. But eventually Krishna will try and tie everything to bhakti at the end. He will try everything to bhakti.
Shraddhalurme katha shrinven subhadra logapavanim.
That if one hears about Krishna, if one hears about Krishna, chant the holy name of Krishna, chant the holy names of Krishna, and continuously absorb in Krishna's thoughts, in thinking about Krishna, Krishna says, and also absorbed in serving me, if you do like that, every time if you keep remembering that, Krishna says, even dharmam karma janma cha abhinayan muhu. So even acting in this world, just like acting is also a kind of service to Krishna. That is how different dramas and other things have developed in this world.
Gayan anusmaran karmam janma cha abhinayan muhu.
Krishna says here that remembering about Krishna and like the, but abhinayam or these activities in pure Krishna consciousness is not something which is followed by ordinary people. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are only two examples given for those who follow that process. One, gopis. Gopis have done that. When Krishna left the gopis and went away, gopis started acting like Krishna. That you can see in the five chapters, in the 29 to 33, in 10th canto. How the gopis took into performing different things, how Krishna has done, how Krishna killed the demons, how Krishna danced, how Krishna ate, all these kinds of things, what they have observed, what Krishna was doing, they started acting. And that is discussed in the 10th canto, how the gopis acted like Krishna. And that is only exclusive for certain devotees like gopis. Everybody cannot do that. The another personality mentioned is Swayambhuva Manu in the 3rd canto. You can see there also. Swayambhuva Manu's activities were such, Ayamayadastasyasan, that Ayamayamam, that means out of the 24 hours in a day, there was hardly any hour or 1 or 2 hours where he was not connected with Krishna somehow or the other. Either absorbed in the holy name or absorbed in the hearing about Krishna or glorifying Krishna. And sometimes he used to act also some of the pastimes of Krishna. Swayambhuva Manu. So Swayambhuva Manu and the gopis, they are the two personalities mentioned in the Bhagavatam who talked about this cha abhinayan muhu. Who does that? And
one who does all these things, Krishna says, who shraddhalur me katha, one who hears about Krishna with shraddha. Shraddha is important. Not that, oh, I heard the story, oh, I heard that before. He was telling something different. He's telling something different. That is not hearing. Shraddha. Shraddha is important. If you remember about shraddha. Hearing process, we talked about it before, isn't it? Shraddha. This culture of hearing, it is called Shravana Samskaram. The samskaram, how to hear properly things. And without being affected by the modes of nature. That is the hearing process. And Srimad Bhagavatam is only talking about this hearing process. Parikshit heard Srimad Bhagavatam, went back to the spiritual world. So similarly, this all the other sadhanas, what we execute in life, just like chanting the holy name, deity worship, and even various other spiritual activities, what we do is to create this culture in us of how to hear properly. Shravana Samskaram. How to hear about Krishna properly. At the moment, we don't hear about Krishna. If we hear about Krishna now, what happens to us is, we have hundreds of questions after that. Isn't it? How can that happen? How can Krishna do this? How can Krishna do that? And then we will ask such questions, and that hearing won't be effective. Proper hearing is a process, and that requires what is called Shraddha. That's why Krishna put there, Shraddhalur me katha shrunven. He is hearing with Shraddha. He is hearing with Shraddha. To give you an example, the there was once in the kingdom, in a king's court, one yaksha came, and he brought three skeletons with him, and he told the king that I have got here three skeletons. Now, in your court, there are so many scholars, highly learned and knowledgeable people. I'm going to ask this question to them, and if they don't come up with the right answer, I'm going to kill them all, the yaksha said to the king. So, what was the question? Question was this, that he showed all the three skeletons to the people who were present there and told them that among these three, who is the best, who is the worst, and who is the middle one? Only skeleton, remember this. Only skeleton, no body. Okay, if you have the whole body, at least you can look at the body and you can get some idea about the person, isn't it? How he looks like. Or some understanding you can have. But once you have taken it all the flesh from the body, there is no blood, there is no, only the skeleton. Three skeletons in front of you, they look identical, isn't it? They look identical. So, all of them were confused how to identify the best and the worst and the middle one in all the three. So, they kept on discussing, not knowing how to find out. So, it was then that one sannyasi came that way, and this sannyasi told the court, I will tell you how to do it, he said. I can find out who it is. So, he brought a piece of stick, a thin rod-like thing, and he put it through the ear of one. Immediately, the other end started coming out through the other ear. So, when he put the stick inside, the stick went in and came through the other ear. So, he said that this is the worst one. This is the worst one. Then, he put it into the next one. When he put into the next one, he saw it went through the ear and it came out through the mouth. So, he said, this is the middle one. Because here, it went in, but it didn't stay very long, it came out through the mouth. It didn't do very much for him, in other words. It went in and came out through the mouth. At least it didn't come through the ear, it came through the mouth. And the third one, when he put it inside, it went straight inwards, directly into the heart. So, the sannyasi's conclusion was that based on this, you can say that one is the Uttama Shrotava, the one who listens properly. The other one is the middle one, and the Madhyama, and the third one is the Adhama. So, this best listener is that one which takes in and takes it inside, goes inwards. If it's not going inwards, all this hearing has no use, but not much of a help, isn't it? Because Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is nothing but meant for this, meant for thoughts, meant to think. And most of the highly learned and realized souls, how did they become like that? Because of the effect of their mananam or their contemplation through the Bhagavatam or contemplation through Bhagavad Gita. That is what has changed the person. So Krishna is saying here, Shraddhalurme Katha Shrinuen. When he hears about Krishna's instructions, Krishna's pastimes, if he is hearing with Shraddha, it should have its impact on the person. Otherwise it is of no use. Subhadra Loga Bhavani. How is that pastime Subhadra? That it is auspicious because it leads to liberation. Isn't it? It leads to liberation. Gayan Anusmaran Karma Janmaja Abhinayan Mohu. And for reaching that state, he will have to execute these things. He is singing about Krishna, remembering about Krishna, execute your activities for Krishna, and sometimes engage in the pastimes of Krishna. Madarthe dharmaga marthan acharan madhava ashrayaha labhate nischalam bhaktim mayuddhava sanatanim. Then he says here, all the dharmam, artham, kamam, all these things. This is dharmartha kamam, the purusharthams as they are called, religiosity, economic development, sense gratification. All these things are executed in such a way, madhava ashrayaha, depending on dependence on Krishna. In other words, he does not go mad in the world just for making money or doing things like that. But behind everything, he sees this is what Krishna wants me to do now. In that proper understanding, he continues to act in this world. And he is labhate nischalam bhaktim mayuddhava sanatane. That person, Krishna says, he will develop bhakti properly. And ultimately, Krishna says that Uddhava had this question, where will I find this bhakti? So, in answer to that, Krishna concludes with another verse. Satsangalabdhaya bhaktya maimamya upasidaha savaime darshidam sadbi anjasa vindade param. Then, where will I get this bhakti? Uddhava was asking. The bhakti, Krishna says, you will get it from satsangam. Satsangam means association with those who are absorbed in Krishna. That and who absorption Krishna means talking about the soul. That is Krishna. Soul is Krishna. Talking about the soul and absorption Krishna is one and the same. Please don't think other way. That if you are talking about the soul, sometimes people think, oh, you are discussing philosophy. No, this is a misunderstanding. Talking about soul means talking about Krishna. When Krishna talked about the soul throughout the Bhagavad Gita, all the way through, he is not talking about something different. He is talking about Krishna. Soul is Krishna. So, what Krishna is saying here is that this process, satsanga labdhaya bhaktya maite maimamya upasidaha, that one who is serving me, when he is talking about Krishna, you are talking about soul. When you are talking about soul, you are talking about Krishna. So, that sometimes we may misunderstand. Only if I hear katha about Krishna's pastimes and activity, that is also about Krishna. But Krishna, you cannot separate the soul and the body like that. Krishna is one spiritual. Everything is spiritual. Body is spiritual. Activities are spiritual. The soul is spiritual. Everything is spiritual. So anything in relationship with all this is Krishna. So that will develop bhakti, Krishna says there. And that will only happen in satsangam, in association with the devotees. So that is why when this is spoken, when one hears from some samayime darshidam sadbi anjasa vindade param, that and one who serves me with that understanding by the way that has been shown by the realized souls or the satsangam, from the satsanga labdhaya mai bhaktya yamam upasita sa saddhi darshitam me padam anjasa vindate, that he will reach that state of realization. My form, Krishna says, my swarupam, or savayame darshitam saddhi anjasa vindate param, he will reach that transcendental state of spiritually realized state. In other words, you can see here, a jnani and a bhakta or a devotee, eventually they will come to the same state that they have realized Krishna. They have realized Krishna. Anjasa vindade param. That param, the superior state, they have reached. After that, what happens is another thing. A devotee may continue to serve Krishna in one of his mellows. But that is a later situation. Prior to that, when one comes to that, Krishna says what happens to the person is anjasa vindade param. He will come to that state of pure state of consciousness. So, when all these things were spoken, Uddhava had questions also. As I mentioned before, that the remember I mentioned about this story last Sunday, that bodily concept of life is very difficult to overcome. We have very strong identity with the body. We have a huge task ahead of us to come out of this bodily concept of life. While remaining within this body, if Krishna says there, if you don't free yourself before the death comes, you have to go for another birth again, according to the vasanas at that same time. So it was in that connection we talked about the story of the sannyasi, how he compared himself with a person who was drunk. And he explained to the two visitors that if one can hand over the body to Krishna, rather than thinking about that he will control this body and he will have control over his body, that will be the greatest misunderstanding. Krishna says there. So, we cannot control our own body. That is the first thing we have to recognize. Whatever Krishna is directing us from within, each one of us, how he is directing us, accordingly, we should manage with this body. Whichever way it is possible, we can control it. But if we, out of false ego, if we start thinking with a false ego that I'm going to control this body and I will able to protect this body, Krishna says that will be the greatest foolishness. So, it is in that connection the sannyasi told the visitors that I made this mistake. Because when I woke up from the bed, I thought that somebody knocked at the door. I went to open the door. In that process, I tripped and I fell. And at that moment, I was trying to defend myself. And process that I cracked my leg or something like that. Some damage he has done. Whereas the person who was drinking, who was not in the bodily concept of life, who was freed from that he fell so many times during the night, but in the morning, he was not injured, no injury to his body. So this example is given like this in order to make us understand that the body is, as long as you identify with the body, you are in trouble. You are in trouble. We identify with the body at any cost, isn't it? Because whole day and night, this is the only care we have, to worry about the body. All our activities are centered around this. Isn't it? We go to work, what? Maintain the body. And we eat for the body. We sleep for the body. Recreation for the body. Everything is for the body, nothing else. So, most of the time during the day is for the maintaining the body. And because of this, and because in ignorance we have identified with the body, this identification continuously increased day after day. And at some stage, it has become very difficult to even recognize what is outside the body, that we exist even outside the body. Without the body, we have a separate existence. Even that becomes very theoretical for us at that time. It becomes very theoretical. So, at least at this point, Krishna is saying that if one does not come out of this understanding, and through this example also, the sannyasi was telling them, that if you start holding on to your body and trying to protect this body, you are in trouble. You are going to be in great trouble. But if you leave the body to material nature and don't identify with the body, at least you can possibly get out of this situation sometime or the other. that's what Krishna said there. Badhyade vidhvan savidanila, he said, isn't it? Yathakam savidanila. The three examples he gave there: the sky, the air, and the wind. So the knowledgeable person, Krishna says here that he will know that this body is not mine. This is why we have to constantly, like a tablet, you have to swallow this all the time. I'm not this body. This body is not mine. This body does not belong to me. And also, you have to always think that this body is going to put you into distress one day. You have to face that music one day. All of us, we have to face that music. So it is better to develop this understanding right now, rather than leaving it for the last minute. I'm not this body. Body is not mine. And body is not of any use to me at the end. It will go its way. I'll have to go my way. Isn't it? So if this understanding, a realized soul, as long as he is within the body, he thinks material nature is managing this body, and he will not waste a lot of his time in identification with the body. But if this thought has not become firmly rooted inside in a person, what will happen? That's what Krishna is warning there. Somehow before the death happens, if this thought is firmly rooted inside, what is that thought? I'm not this body. Body is not mine. And body is not going to be of any use to me at the end. Is any use to me. That means a degree of detachment from this body. And establishing ourselves in the truth. Truth is that I am the soul. First we have to break away from the body before we establish in the soul. Isn't it? So, once we have not broken away from this body and not established in the soul, we are likely to be in trouble at the end. That's what Krishna is pointing out here. That if we do not fix our understanding on this, I'm not this body, body is not mine, and body is not meant for my journey to the spiritual world, at the end I have to leave this body here. I didn't ask for it, it has come to me. It has come. I didn't know why I got this type of body, in a particular place, under certain parents. All these things are unknown to me. So, I don't know the cause of all these things. Somehow, it was given to me and I'm involved with this body now. So, Krishna says here, Prakritistobi, that he says here, Prakritistobi, that Prakriti is the controller of this body. Prakriti is the controller of this body. So, Krishna says, Prakritistobi, Savidanila. Then he gave the example of this the sky, and also the sun, and also the wind. The three examples he gave. That we have to become like them, these three. Like the sun, like the wind, and like the sky. How, although those three things, if you look at them carefully, you will see the examples Krishna has given. One is the sky, one is the sun, and one is the wind. All three of them have what is known as asparsham. Asparsham means that they touch things but they don't touch. Asparsha yogam it is called. That they are in contact with everything in this world. For example, take the sun. Sun touches everything in this world. But when sun leaves, nothing is, and it doesn't affect the sun, does it? It doesn't affect the sun. Sun is independent. That is the way to act in this world. This is why, if you look into Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna gives example of Karma Yogam, the best example he gives us the sun, isn't it? Then he mentions about that in the Imam Vivasvade Yogam Proktavanaham Avyayam Vaivasvan Manuve Praha Manu Ikshaguve Braveen. In the fourth chapter you will see there. That Vivasvan is like that. That he has not, he does not have anything, he doesn't allow anything to affect him. He comes, does his job and goes. Every day, uninterruptedly, he comes and goes. So this is one thing to learn from the sun, Krishna says. It is exactly like this way we have to deal with this body also. Because we are not this body. Body is something that has come to us due to our karma, vasana. Vasana is the cause behind it, and prarabdha karma is cause behind that. Because of all this, the body has come to us. But mistakenly, we identified with the body. That is the greatest mistake that has happened to us. So due to that mistake, throughout the life, we spent in maintaining the body to such levels. So any inconvenience or discomfort for the body, immediately we attend to that. But any discomfort for the soul, we don't bother, we don't care. We think that that's okay. Why? That is called avidya. That is the ignorance in us. So sun is one example. The other example was the wind. Wind comes and blows through all the places. When it goes through the garden, it carries the flowers' aroma. Or when it goes through a filthy place, it carries that filth also, but eventually it leaves that also. So that is the nature of the wind. Savidham, Anila, the wind, the sun, the sky, and then the sun and the sky. The sky present everywhere, but never touched by anything. The sky cannot be touched by anyone. So this kind of relationship, this kind of connection between the soul and the body is important. And this is called Asparsha Yogam. How, when, while living in this world, while within living in this body, one stays away from the body. This is the technique. While living within this body, how one stays away from the body. So that is what was spoken at that time. So Krishna says here, this can only be created by Vaisharadi Buddhi. That's why he spoke about that, if you remember. Vaisharadi Sadhi Vishuddha Buddhi. You will see, we talked about Vaisharadi Buddhi earlier also. Vaisharadi Sadhi Vishuddha Buddhair, Krishna says. So Vaisharadi Buddhi is that Buddhi that able to all the time separate mind, intelligence, false ego, body, everything separately from the soul and to come to the platform of the soul. Brahma Vidya. It is another name for that is Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya and Vaisharadi Buddhi. These are all different names, but in substance it is the same thing. So Krishna says here that although a lot of activities are performed, at the same time he is not unaffected by any of these things. So Nanatval Vinivartate. If it does not happen like this, the first thing Krishna says, this sankalpam or this determination should be developed inside, within oneself. That sankalpam is important in the spiritual life. You may not have reached that state, but within one's own mind, one should get firmly convinced about this, that this body is not me. This body does not belong to me. And this body is of no use to me at the end. While being here in this world, the body can be not used, but it has to be looked after. Just like we maintain a car or anything like that. So that it can do the transactions in this world. Apart from that, this body is not of any importance. Body is not of any importance. So this understanding, Krishna says, one should get oneself fixed up in one's own mind. That is called sankalpam. Sankalpam means if this is not firmly established inside, then other activities won't help. Other activities won't help. You may carry on doing a lot of sadhana. Lot of sadhana you may do with this intention. But if the sankalpam is not inside, the progress won't be there. It is not going to happen very easily. That's why sankalpam is more important than anything else. Krishna says about that. That Krishna calls it as Veda Sankalpam, isn't it? Veda Sankalpam. Then mind, intelligence and senses, all these things have come from them. That is why in Bhagavad Gita when Krishna talks about that, Krishna says there, if you remember in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about it in this way. Krishna says there that the heat and the cold, Shidoshna Sugadukkada, ആഗമാപായിനോ നിത്യം താം തിദീക്ഷസ്വ ഭാരത. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ടു അർജുന, അർജുന, ഇൻ ഓർഡർ ടു ടോളറേറ്റ് ദ ഹീറ്റ് ആൻഡ് കോൾഡ് മാത്ര സ്പർശസ്തു കൗന്ദേയ ശീതോഷ്ണ സുഖദുഃഖത. ആഗമാപായിനോ നിത്യം താം തിദീക്ഷസ്വ ഭാരത. When these verses were spoken in Bhagavad Gita, the background of this is what Krishna is talking about here. That matras prashastu kaundeya, Arjuna, that heat and cold, if you understand that you are not this body, they are coming according to the seasons, isn't it? Heat and cold comes according to the seasons. Shidam and ushnam, heat and cold and heat. And similarly, sukham and dukham, happiness and distress also comes in the same way. But if you know their nature, that they will come and they will go. Again another one will come and the one will go. So this constant coming and going only affects the body, not the soul. If the knowledge is proper and if one is fixed in the knowledge properly, then he can see this, that the body is experiencing the heat and cold. Sometimes we also recite all these verses, isn't it? Agamabhayino nityam tam tidikshasva bharada says to Arjuna that one should tolerate. Tolerate in the sense, not that tolerate that I put a sweater and jumper and says I'll tolerate. What Krishna is saying here is, you should tolerate by knowing what it is. That knowledge is that I am not this body, rather I am the soul. The heat and cold is experienced by the body. So that is where knowledge will come into action. Whereas on the other hand, if you say it's to tolerate means, so the temperature drops, so let me see, I'll tolerate somehow, what can I do? Not out of that helplessness. That's not what Krishna is saying here. Krishna is saying here that one should be able to break away from that effect, not allow that to affect one himself, because by constant understanding and constantly realizing that he is not the body, is not this body's body is not belong to me, somehow this body has come to me, and constantly talking about it within oneself, he will be able to free himself from these inconveniences, Krishna says there. So that anusandhanam, that is what it says here. And those who have realized like this, in the Mahabharata also there is this great famous personality, very famous personality, Janaka Maharaj. All these kings of Mithila, they were, Srimad Bhagavatam says, they were all liberated souls. All the kings of Mithila, they were liberated, they were all householders and they were all liberated souls as well. So about them, when talking about them, once it so happened that King Janaka in his palace, Ashtavakra Maharshi came there. Ashtavakra Maharshi came there. Ashtavakra is a famous sage, very famous. Though only his name is indicating his bodily features. He has got 8 bends in his body. 8 places it's bent, the body. He looks very crooked, in other words. His body looks very crooked. Due to many thousands of years of sadhanas and penances, intense penances, he has executed, but a very, very great, powerful sage. He has written a book called Ashtavakra Samhita. It's a famous spiritual literature, very well known. So this Ashtavakra Muni was also present in King Janaka's palace. It is this Ashtavakra Muni who, if you want to know a little bit background about him, then Ashtavakra Muni is the person who cursed Krishna's wives. Remember, Krishna had 16,108 wives. Once it so happened, these 16,100 wives, before they became Krishna's wives in their previous life, while they were bathing in one of the rivers, Ashtavakra Muni was also bathing there. When they saw Ashtavakra Muni, they made fun of him, seeing his body. So he immediately cursed them, these 16,100 wives. So what was the curse? Curse was this, that when you get married, all of you will be stolen away by the cowherd boys later. If you remember, after Krishna's departure from this world, Arjuna was asked to take all the wives from Dwaraka to Indraprastham.
to take to the palace in Indraprastham. Arjuna was escorting all the 16,100 wives from Dwaraka to Indraprastham. It was on the way, the cowherd boys, they attacked and stole all Krishna's wives. Arjuna couldn't do anything about it. Such a great personality, Arjuna lost it. And this happened because of this curse from Ashtavakra Maharshi. Ashtavakra's curse came into that. When the wives prayed for release from that bondage, Ashtavakra Muni told them that they will become the wives of Krishna in the next birth. So that's a blessing from Ashtavakra. So although Ashtavakra cursed them, they also got the life as, they had the position as Krishna's wives in this world. 16,100 wives who were actually locked up in the prison by Naragasura. And when Krishna went there and killed Naragasura and after that married all of them and brought them back to Dwaraka. That story you know in the 10th canto. Very famous pastime. Krishna's pastime. So, Ashtavakra Maharshi is connected with that. So, Ashtavakra Maharshi was present in Janaka's palace once. So, there, while discussing, Ashtavakra Maharshi and Janaka, King Janaka, they used to discuss about self-realization. Sages are very fond of talking about self-realization. And if they get the right person to talk about, they will discuss in the realized state how things are happening. So, at that point, Ashtavakra Maharshi's discussions, Janaka Maharaj says, that how he attained that state, he says, I do not know how, he says, I have escaped from the grip of the body. I have escaped from the grip of the body, I have escaped from the grip of the mind, I have escaped from the intelligence, I have escaped from the false ego. Somehow or the other, I have escaped from that. He says, after his realized state. So, all these things are only to point out to us, that astuvida nanindena kurvadasva asadhu asadhuam. That these verses are for us to study and to make it our own verses. Because through these verses, Krishna is talking about self-realization. And that will probably inspire us also. And after that, he says here, that Atma Rama vijare jadavan muni. Then, once he has reached that state of self-realization, once he has reached that state, vichare jadavan muni, he is just waiting for the body to drop. He will move in this world as a jadabharada, like jadabharada has moved. That's why jadabharada story was spoken in the fifth canto. So, from their example, Sukadeva Goswami's example, and all these great sages, they all acted in this way. They are jnanis, they are realized souls at the same time. And they will never allow themselves to be drawn into the material consciousness at any time. That does not happen to them anymore. Then, after that, now what Krishna is going to talk about is what is known in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Uddhava's questions. Uddhava is going to ask some questions to Krishna. What is Uddhava's questions? Uddhava's questions are like this. That now that Krishna has spoken about bhakti, Krishna, Uddhava is going to ask Krishna that what is the nature of a sadhu? Sadhu means a spiritual person or who is realized in that way. That's what he is referring to. And what is the kind of devotion that will help us to realize the truth. Then, what's Krishna's opinion about it? That's what Uddhava is asking. Shri Uddhava Uvacha, Sadhutta Uttama Shloka, Madayidri Kedrugida Prabho, Bhaktisto Ubayujeda Kidrashi Sadhvinadridam. Then, what is acceptable to you? Whom do you call as a sadhu? Uddhava says. Then, what kind of devotion will please you? And he also asks here, how does that, Narada Maharshi and others, what kind of bhakti do they glorify? And there are many opinions about the devotees and also about devotion. What is the proper kind of devotion and who is the proper kind of devotee? All these questions Uddhava has asked there. Sadhutastama shloka madagi drugida prabho bhaktisto ivayujeda ki drishi sadbhiradrida edanme purushadhyaksha logadhyaksha jagal prabho pranadaya anurektaya prapannaya jagatyadham. Then he says here that a purushadhyaksha logadhyaksha jagal prabho, one who purushadhyaksha means one who controls even Lord Brahma and Sarveshwara, Sarva Loga Parivalaga, Loga Adhyaksha, all universes are maintained by Krishna, Jagal Prabho, one who is worshipped by everyone. And I am falling at your feet, Uddhava says, Pranadaya Anurektaya Prapannaya Jame Edal Kathyadam, because I am surrendered unto your lotus feet and I have completely taken shelter of your lotus feet, please instruct me about this, because only you are capable of telling me about this. That is why Uddhava has used so many words to glorify Krishna. As far as Uddhava is concerned, if you remember, in the beginning itself, Krishna said, Uddhava said to Krishna, what was that? Satrasyade, satyasyade sudrasham atmanam atmanunyam vaktaramesha vibhudeshvavin anujakshe sarve vimohida dhiya tava mayeme brahmanayas tanubrada bahiratta bhavaha. It is with these words Uddhava started the conversation with Krishna. Uddhava said to Krishna that to talk about the soul being situated in the spiritual platform, there is only one person and that's you. Nobody else, not even Brahma. That is Uddhava's conclusion. Because someone who is situated on the spiritual platform alone can talk about the soul. That is Uddhava's point. So Uddhava says like this to Krishna, and then now he says that I have surrendered unto you, and because of that very surrender itself, please instruct me now who is a devotee and what is devotion. Who is a devotee, what is devotion, and whom should we associate with? These are the questions Uddhava has posed now. You can see up to this now knowledge was discussed, jnanam was discussed. Now, when Krishna mentioned about bhakti, Uddhava wanted to know about bhakti. So from now on, till the end of this chapter, Krishna will talk about two things. One about the devotee and another about the devotion, which we will see next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jai.